to receive their trophy that they've striven and worked so hard to achieve. When they get their trophy, they'll drink out of it. Often they'll take it to bed with them and lie it on their pillow as they fall asleep at night. And of course, when they receive that trophy, they'll probably take it in hand and give it a great big smooch right in front of all the attendants, and we just love it. Look at that guy. He's worked so hard, and he's achieved the greatest thing, his trophy, top of his field. Well, professional sports has a diversity of trophies, don't they? We think of the Stanley Cup for hockey, the Grey Cup for football. We think of the yellow jersey for the Tour de France bicycle race. The World Cup, of course, is the soccer trophy. And of course, in the Olympics, we get the gold medal hung around our necks in honor of achieving the top place. There are a lot of trophies in life, aren't there? There are all kinds of trophies that we get. Even for education, we get our diploma, our certificate. We get our cap. We get our thing that goes around our neck, our gold cord. All kinds of awards, medals, medallions, all things to say you've done great. And of course, with those great honors come bragging rights. Yeah, I did it. I achieved it. And we, of course, along with those bragging rights, we talk about it in the negative as boasting. If you talk about it all the time, yeah, I did that, and here's my trophy, and look at how wonderful I am. And it kind of improves our self-identity a little bit, and we think about, yeah, I'm worth it. I'm able to accomplish the best that I can be. But after all that, when we look at our trophy case and feel a sense of pride and self-worth in our lives, we have chance afterwards to reflect. And this morning, I would have you go to your personal trophy case in your lives and take a look in that trophy case. What are your trophies that are on display in your heart and your mind that you have achieved in your life? Maybe it's an educational pursuit that you've had. Maybe it's a musical thing that you've achieved. Maybe an athletic award. There you go. Take a look in your mind's eye and look at those trophies that are on display in your hearts and in your minds. Paul also had a collection of trophies that he had as well. Yet in the book of Philippians, trophies don't mean as much as servanthood does to the Apostle Paul. Two guys, Timothy and Epaphroditus, were really Paul's trophies. They weren't gold-plated or stenciled with a date on them, of course, but they did have service and servanthood burnished on their faces, and they glowed like stars in the heavens. Paul's trophies. Let's look at them here in Philippians chapter 2, reading at verse 19 and reading down to verse 30. It's printed on the PowerPoint, but this morning, because it's a larger passage, I'm going to read this to you. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered and when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you, and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. May God bless the reading of his word to us this morning. Well, first of all, if we cultivate a servant's heart and endure a servant's hardship, we will receive a servant's honor. So first off, we want to look at what cultivating a heart of servanthood really involves. Every Christian is given the model, the great model of servanthood here in Philippians chapter 2, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in verses 6 down to verse 11. Because of our selfish nature, we need to cultivate a heart of servanthood. It's not something that would come naturally to us. Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus were men who had servants' hearts that we as men can emulate. Centered on the things of Jesus is so important when we want to cultivate that servant heart. You can cultivate a servant's heart unless you focus. We did some archery last weekend out at camp, and it was amazing how when you focused on the target, you could let fly the arrow and it would strike the balloon that was attached to the target. And there was a few of us that were able to do that amazing task of popping a balloon. But arrows were flying every which way. We all wanted to get the target, but I think those that focused most were able to hit the target and so pop the balloon. We see Paul's focus in the language he uses here. In verse 19, he says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I may be cheered when I receive news about you. I hope in the Lord Jesus. His language in itself focuses attention upon what Christ wants and what Christ's will is in the situation. In verse 24, he says, and I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. It's clear that Paul's language is punctuated with the word Lord, that God was in his sights. When Paul commends and states that, unlike many others, Timothy was not seeking after his own interests, but of the Lord Jesus Christ, Timothy served with Paul in the furtherance of the gospel, in verse 22. From Paul's language and commendation, we get three key attitudes that's necessary for cultivating that servant-like heart. The first is not having a prejudice of location. It wouldn't have been easy for Timothy to leave Paul and return to Philippi. But he didn't hold on to his location and say, no, Paul, I want to stay with you. He was willing to go. He was willing to go back to Philippi and to serve the church there. It couldn't have been easy for Epaphroditus to leave the comforts of his home and to journey all the way to Rome to visit a prisoner Paul himself being that prisoner in that jail. Yet he gave up those comforts in Philippi and made the journey and almost died as a result of that. Have you told the Lord, I'm willing to go wherever you want me to go? I remember saying those words myself when it came to doing some theological education, traveling to Saskatchewan of all places and living in Regina, Saskatchewan. Those words took me to California and then to Shanghai. Wherever you want me to go, Lord, I'm willing to go. A freedom from location and dictating to the Lord where you must be. Servants are free to serve anyone. Timothy and Paul were willing to go and serve the Philippian church and countless other churches. We see this through Paul's extensive missionary journeys. He makes three extensive trips, traveling to and visiting various churches all over Asia. Not counting who it is that we serve, whether they be of one race or another, of one class or another, but whoever they are, willing to come underneath them and serve them. Have you told the Lord that I'm willing to serve anyone? Servants are free to sacrifice anything. Timothy had given up his own interest to become a servant of Christ. Epaphroditus almost lost his life in the service of the Lord. Have you told the Lord, I'm willing to give up everything, everything to serve you? My ambitions, my desires, my comforts, my time, my money, to serve you. A servant's heart must be cultivated, because if you would have and be motivated like unto Christ and have a servant's heart, you will be able to overcome all kinds of hardships and difficulties and obstacles. If you don't, you'll find that you're competing with yourself. You'll find that in serving Christ, you'll feel like, why am I giving up so much? I would rather have those things. I would rather have my comforts and my desires. A servant's heart puts others ahead of himself for the sake of Christ. The Apostle Paul was in prison facing possible execution. Timothy was his right-hand man. And yet Paul did not say, well, I'm going to hold Timothy to myself because he's caring so easily and well for my needs. He freely releases Timothy to go back to Philippi. Timothy was genuine. Three ways of putting others ahead of ourselves. One, you will have a heartfelt love. A heartfelt love. These verses ooze Paul's love for Timothy, Epaphroditus, and the Philippians. Also notice that Epaphroditus longed for the Philippians, even in his own distress. The word used is the same word of Jesus' distress in the Garden of Gethsemane. So is Epaphroditus' longing to aid Paul and also those in Philippi. Emotions are very much a part of the Christian life. Strong emotions. I don't believe that Paul was being stoic, or Timothy or Epaphroditus were being stoic and holding onto their emotions. These letters that Paul writes are full of emotion, full of concern for the church. Anxious, anxiety was very much a part of the reality of their concern for these people. In openly showing grief or anxiety or tenderness, Paul wasn't afraid to be human and express his deep feelings for others. Secondly, you will be having a genuine concern. Sad to say, many who serve the Lord, including some in full-time ministry, do it with mixed motives. They're out for the strokes others can give them. They like being in the limelight. They're manipulative of people for their own advantage and their own gain. They're still trying to win the worldly trophies. You can't both win the servanthood trophy and the worldly trophies. Thirdly, you can work cooperatively with others. Timothy served with Paul. Epaphroditus worked together with the Philippians. To do that, you have to die to yourself and put others ahead of yourself. Some people are just not team players unless they are the boss. Paul was clearly the leader, but he didn't lord it over his fellow workers. He didn't say, you have to go, you have to do this. But he calls humbly Epaphroditus his brother, even though he must have been senior to them in years and experience. Cultivating servant's trophy requires focusing on the things that are Christ's and seeing Christ as all important to yourself. Secondly, hardships of servanthood. Serving Christ is not easy. Any pursuit after a trophy, of course, is not a walk in the park. We know that by pursuing worldly trophies. The term fellow soldier implies warfare. It brings us under the withering attacks of the enemy when we do what goes onto his territory and tries to gain for ourselves the accolades of Christ. It takes courage to step up, just as soldiers must go to a boot camp to prove themselves worthy of being in the army. We also must go through boot camp, a testing. Paul mentions here Timothy's proven worthy in verse 22. The word means approved or tested. In James chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, it says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. A product that hasn't been proved or tested isn't a product worth purchasing. Timothy had endured enough testing that Paul knew that he was faithful and loyal, and that he felt that there was no concern in sending him as his representative to Philippi. He didn't wonder, I wonder if Timothy will do a good job there. There was no concern in his heart over that. Testing and hardship and Christian service can come from many sources. There's a hardship of both inside and outside the church. Paul was in prison due to persecution through the Roman government. But he was also facing the pressure we see in Philippians chapter 1 from people inside the church that were preaching the gospel to see Paul's downfall. So both inside and outside the church, Paul was facing hardship and pressures upon him. Likewise for us, we'll face pressures outside and inside the church when we want to be a servant. Sometimes it's hardest to take those kind of arrows and slings that are put to us inside the church. We would expect the best of fellow Christians or those who name the name of Christ, but often people come and sit in the pews and they have a veneer of Christianity. They have a mask of Christianity and they look like Christians and they walk and talk, but when it comes to serving and loving the church, they don't have what's needed underneath that veneer, the heart of a servant. Hardship of the work itself. He mentions Epaphroditus here, almost risking his life for the sake of the gospel. There's the physical and emotional hardships that are to be endured. Solomon said this, the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure. What does it mean? It means that the wise are willing to sympathize with those that are in pain and sick and discouraged and hurting. They find great value in this and therefore run to meet the needs of those that are hurting. However, the fool only cares for himself and his own pleasure, and so flees the other direction and looks to please himself. He lives his life primarily for his own happiness and ease. But that's not how Epaphroditus lived. He hurt with others and rejoiced with others. His heart was in the place of mourning and sadness in the difficulties of the Philippians and with Paul. He went to bear Paul's pain in the prison. Hardship enables service through sympathy. In 1 Kings 17, Elijah goes to the lady that had a son through his prophetic word, and this son has died. And Elijah goes into the room, and this dead boy is laying on a cot or a bed. Elijah climbs on top of him and prays. He does this three times, climbing on top of the dead body. Why would this prophet climb on top of a dead body three times? Isn't just standing, you know, aside from the dead body all that's needed and a word of prayer? I believe that Elijah was seeking to sympathize with the pain and the suffering. And if we want to be servants, folks, we have to empathize and become sympathetic by getting close to those that are in pain and that are suffering to fully understand their pain and suffering. Because it's only in getting close that we can really empathize with others' pains. They say, you know, the best servants are those that have gone through similar sufferings, similar pains themselves. But outside of that, the best way for us to get that servant's heart and that attitude is to get close as possible to others' pain and suffering. That's edgy, that's hard, that's difficult for us to accomplish. But God can enable. It's not one of the reasons that Jesus, I believe, became a man, was because he wanted to understand our pains and our sufferings, to empathize with us, and so in like accord become our high priest. He understood who God was, but he also understood our own sufferings and our own pains. As Hebrews says in chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin." This is exactly what many of us need in order to grow sympathetic. I don't really have that kind of heart. I don't really feel that. Well, the reason we don't feel that is because we haven't got close to it. We need to be like Epaphroditus. We need to visit the person in jail and the person on their deathbed, to touch the leper. Allow that pain to change us and make us to be people that are more sympathetic. Servants worth honoring are servants that are sympathetic. As they feel the pain of others, it moves them into action and is displayed through actions like Epaphroditus' journey from Philippi to Rome to visit a prisoner. Hardships and serving the Lord are part of the package, not to be avoided, but entered into. And to be fully equipped as a servant, we must enter into those places of pain and suffering and quit trying to escape them and be involved in our own comforts. Thirdly, the honor of servanthood. We don't seek the honor for ourselves, but for our Lord Jesus Christ, who alone is worthy. He has promised, those who honor me, I will honor. He will reward every faithful servant with a crown of righteousness. Any hardship we suffer now in serving Christ will be well worth it when we face him face to face and hear these words from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Paul here honors Timothy and by sending him as his representative. He honors Epaphroditus by commending him and telling the church to hold up men like these and honor them. The devil is intent on undermining the authority of the godly. And so the church must hold men who are godly and in leadership and high regard. In conclusion, these seem like mundane words almost as we look at them in verses 19 to 30 of Philippians chapter 2. Traveling words, sending Epaphroditus here, sending Timothy there. But really, they're the words of a father that loves these two men like sons and sees in them, like unto his own heart, a heart of servanthood. And so he holds them up as two wonderful trophies for us in this Philippian passage. The question for us is, when we look at our family display case of trophies, whether we have in our trophy case a trophy that is marked servanthood as a family and as an individual. Do we treasure that kind of trophy in our family case of trophies? Or is it all worldly trophies that we're seeking to aspire to? Paul tells us here and encourages us by these two men's life that they were willing to live their lives fully for the interests of Jesus Christ. They weren't selfish. They were empty of conceit. They had humility in mind and regarded others more highly than themselves, not looking to their own interests, but to the interests of others. Then he gives us a great example of the Lord Jesus Christ here again in Philippians 2, verses 6 through 11. Our Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death upon a cross, making himself in very nature as a servant. In hardship, we receive the servant's reward. That's the pattern set out by the Lord Jesus himself. These men in ancient times, in courage and strength, took up the mantle upon themselves, the mantle of servanthood, and strove with all they were to be true servants. If we really want the mantle of fatherhood and the honor of fatherhood, the honor of fatherhood is service. Service like that unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that God and our own hearts would be hearts of servants.
Let's stand and sing this song to ask God to make us a servant, to give us humble hearts, to be able to endure hardships, and to be able to relate to those who we serve.
Make me a servant, humble and meek. Let me lift up those who are weak, and may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant, make me a servant, make me a servant today. Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak, and may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant, make me a servant, make me a servant today.
Receive of the Lord's benediction upon your hearts today. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Please turn with me into your bulletins this morning to look at a few brief announcements. We have our baby bottle campaign concluded today. Thank you so much for those of you that have collected some coinage in baby bottles or maybe wrote a check or something else to put that in terms of pregnancy concern here in our community. I talked to Joy. She's the one that operates pregnancy concern. And she's told me this is the biggest campaign they have in the year. And so this carries them through for the whole year. So thank you so much for giving towards that. If you didn't bring your baby bottles, I'm intending to bring them to Joy up off of Austin. They have a little office up there. I'll do that on Friday. So if you can try to get those bottles to us this week before Friday, I'll make sure they get up there. Bike for Bibles is happening next Saturday. Bert is off in Alberta. He's been there for about 2 weeks now, looking and talking with his supporters. He'll be back and biking with us. So if you would like to join Bike for Bibles, there's registration online. You can find out all about it and join us. Usually there's about 30, 40 riders that go out and help support buying Bibles for people that need them. This Saturday also, Bosco Poon event is happening. So come out on Saturday evening. Our worship team will be leading, and Bosco will be talking a little bit about his testimony and also rapping. So if you're into some rap music, come out and hear Bosco. Also, our men's group won't be the end of the month. It'll be the beginning of July just because of the Bike for Bibles and the Bosco Poon event. So we'll be looking to have breakfast together and then head out and maybe play some softball. So that'll be fun. Also, our garage sale is coming up in July. So there's a sign-up sheet if you'd like. You got some things you'd like to get rid of. The monies will be going towards helping people doing theological study. So please sign up if you want a table, and so we know how many tables to put out and arrange that. And pray for good weather. Last year, I think we tried two or three times to have our garage sale, and we got rained out each time, so it wasn't good. And then people were saying, Pastor, you know, I've got all this stuff in my house, and I want to get rid of it. And I was like, okay, well, you know, that's the way it happens. So please do pray that we don't have rain that weekend. Also, Coquitlam Alliance up the hill from us is having their Saturday community event. They're going to be showing a movie up there, and they have jumpy things and things for the kids, face painting, all that kind of stuff. So that's up at the park. You can get some more information from Coquitlam Alliance's website. Also, you'll notice that there's our children's programs are full, and also our benevolent fund is full. So thank you so much for giving towards the Lord. We will have in July a Sunday school class or evening program that will help for those that want to be baptized in the summer months. We're hoping to have a baptism maybe the second last weekend of August. So if you'd like to baptize or take out membership this summer, please come and talk to me and register that you would like to participate in that class. And we'll talk about the exact timing of that, what would suit you. And we'll conduct those classes very shortly. So please come and talk to me about that. So thank you so much for being here at Westwood and giving of your tithes and your offerings on a regular basis. There's boxes at the back of the church, and we encourage you to use those. Thank you as well for continuing to support and pray for the ministries of Westwood. We have so much in way of blessing. This week, I went out to Olivet Bakery, and I collected over 100 loaves of bread, and I was able to give out a few loaves actually to one of our neighbors. Maybe you could do the same, that you know somebody that's in need that would like some bread. It's there for the offering. Take it for those that are around you that are needy. And I'm hoping to have that there each week. It's bread that has no preservatives in it, so it spoils rather quickly. So you got to refrigerate it quickly and get it into the freezer, and then you can preserve it a little longer. But that bread is usually always thrown out. It's actually destined for the dumpster. So if we can grab it and use it to hand out to people before it expires, please avail yourselves of it. So there's a lot there. I have a book here as well to tell you that we have our book tables in our connection room. There's some excellent authors that are worth reading. If you'd like to purchase some books, feel free to avail yourselves of those in the connections room this Sunday. May God bless you. Please bow your head in silent prayer and then be dismissed.